It is indeed a privilege to be in this pulpit, which has so often been filled by those far more talented and skilled than I am. But I thank you. I thank Steve and the congregation for this opportunity to be here to preach. Also, I would be remiss if I did not add my personal word of thanks for you being here tonight. If you're with us by electronic device, then you are welcome as well, and I thank you for your presence. The fact that you are here is indicative of your interest in things that are spiritual, and you greatly. We appreciate it very much. This evening, it's my intention to discuss portions of the book of James. And we're going to look at several items quickly, and then we're going to spend some more time discussing what Adam read for us on the use and misuse of the tongue and how it has an effect on lots of things. I like the book of James. The book of James is straightforward. It instructs Christians how to behave themselves. It's not theoretical. But it is easy to understand if you just take the time to do it. And we appreciate that. You will appreciate that very much. The book itself is addressed to Christians, Jewish Christians, in the first century, but it is applicable to us 2,000 years later because it's so straightforward and conveys the intention to instruct Christians in that. It deals with the problems of Christianity in the first century, and how they were to deal with them. The author is James. How about that? There are four primary Jameses in the Bible, if you will. Most conservative scholars, most scholars, period, believe that this James, the James that wrote this book, is the half-brother of Christ. We know that he was a pillar of the Church of Jerusalem and held that position for several years. He didn't believe in Christ until after the resurrection, but then he became fully enthused with it and taught and went on from there. Some references refer to him as camel knees. And supposedly that was because he prayed so often in the temple on hard rock that his knees became calloused like those of a camel. I don't know whether that's true or not, but it makes for an interesting story. He was in Jerusalem for the majority of his life. And according to Josephus, the scholar, unfortunately Josephus sometimes tells a better story than he writes a history, but according to him, he was executed, James was executed, in either 62 or 69 A.D. by orders of the high priest. But before that time, probably the date that's most often given someplace between 40 and 62 A.D., during that period of time, it is believed that he wrote the book of James. Now, the book of James was probably written in Palestine. There are several references within the book that would almost necessitate its being written there. It probably was written in Jerusalem, where James is known to have lived during this period of time. The book itself is addressed to the Jewish Christians, and it was written to instruct them in the faith and to insulate them from worldly practices. It is an interesting book. It's not that long. It's five chapters, I believe, and it is one that we should all pay attention to. Starting here in chapter 1, verse 1, a discussion of how trials should strengthen our faith. If you go on to the second chapter, verses 1 through 3, it's a discussion of partiality and how we should not allow that to interfere with our life as a Christian. Now, in that day and age, they were being partial to those who had money and those who did not. And he warns them about that. Today, we may have that same problem with wealth and those without wealth, but we also have that problem with those of different colors. And we can't allow that to happen. That is not only wrong, it's sinful, and we must avoid that. Perhaps the most famous of James's teaching is in the second chapter, verses 14 through 26, and that compels Christians to act rather than to just pay words or use words. And again, that's a necessity. And it takes away the idea that you can merely say to someone who is in need of food, be fed. That doesn't get them fed, folks. And if they need clothing, just say, be clothed, be warm. And that's not the case. It doesn't work. We have to demonstrate our faith by how we act. And if we fail to do that, then we fail in our duties as a Christian. Just a minute here, we've changed my outline around, unfortunately. In the third chapter, verses 13 through 18, he talks about wisdom and how true wisdom comes from above, comes from God, and not from the mind of man. In the fifth chapter, verses 1 through 6, it talks about the misuse of funds, of riches, and those are not to be bragged about, nor are they to be hoarded, but rather they are to be spent for the good. And there are reasons why people have money, and if they are doing it correctly, there are reasons why it should be used in an appropriate manner. If it is not, then the use is misused, if you will, through that. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 3, we deal here with the tongue, or speaking. And speaking is more dangerous than any snake. It not only is not nice if you speak inappropriately, but it's a violation of civil law. There are laws against libel, which is written, and laws against hearsay and trying to use that. Slander is a violation of the law. If you tell a lie about somebody and it damages them, you are responsible for the damages. So we need to keep that in mind just for that particular purpose. He says that if you can control your tongue, you are a perfect man. Now that's not perfect and sinless, but rather a complete individual. So if you can do that, you can be a complete individual. You can be the things that you need to be. He issues a warning here to teachers. And apparently many folks wanted to teach. Unfortunately, some of them weren't capable of teaching. Now, what you have to understand is that those who preach and those who teach are subject to being repeated over and over again, and if you mess something up, you tell it wrong, whether it's intentional or unintentional, you may cause somebody to say that over and over again until some people begin to believe it just because you said it. You have to be careful when you do that, and that's what he's talking about. You must be, if you're going to teach, you must be prepared to teach. You ought to know your subject extremely well before you're going to teach it to somebody else. That doesn't mean that there aren't things that you can do rather than teach. There are lots of things that the church requires. church requires that we have reasonably clean floors, and we have several people who are taking care of that. If you haven't noticed, Ron stays after services almost every day we have a meeting, and he cleans the building. Okay? I understand there are lots of things for people to do. Oh, and I forgot. I wanted to thank you for the songs that you led tonight, appropriate for this lesson. So, but there are lots of things that you can do. It's not hard to call somebody who is shut in and wish them well. You'll make them feel better and make you feel better. It's not hard to talk to and ask a mature Christian. I had a fellow who was elected 12 times to the Indiana legislature. And he said, Alan, there are no old voters. There are mature individuals. Well, you can talk to mature individuals and you can gain from their knowledge. It'll make you more knowledgeable and it'll make them feel like they have a greater value. That's some of the things that you can do, other things that will come with it. That is a proper use of the tongue. One of the he gives examples here of what small things can do, how small a thing as such as the tongue can be so damaging. He gives an example of the bridle, of the rudder, of fires, and of bitter and sweet springs through that. Understand that we still guide horses by the bridle. If you want to see a rudder in action, a modern aircraft carrier is 1,000 feet long. It's 400 feet wide. It's got 4 acres of flight deck. Donnie's smiling at me because he knows what it takes to land a big plane. Well, they do. They land planes on it. There are 100 planes on board a modern carrier. There's a crew of 5,000. And yet that huge ship, hundreds of tons of ship, is guided by one man at the helm, and he adds 2 relatively small rudders. And he can control that huge ship all by himself. Okay? That's what it takes to do that. And that's what we need to keep in mind. Understand that you can, if you can guide a ship like that, you can do great damage to that. So, a tongue is a fire waiting to be occurred. Its damage it can do is horrendous. The damage that can be done by slander is so destructive that it's hard to fathom. It causes reputations to be destroyed. It causes lives to be ruined. It causes families to be destroyed. All of those things by inappropriate words. The Bard of Avon, William Shakespeare, had one of his characters say it like this: "Who steals my purse steals that which 'tis something, nothing. 'Twas mine, 'tis his, and has been slave to thousands. But he who filches from me my good name robs him that not only enriches him, or does not enrich him, and makes me poor indeed." I think Mr. Shakespeare got that one right. The damage that can be done is terrible. And it doesn't take much to do that damage. If you don't pay attention to what you say, then you can create that problem without even trying. And the damage that is done, you think about a small fire. There was a little fire down in Tennessee made by some not too bright young men, and it almost destroyed the city of Gatlinburg. If you look at the television today, you'll see flames that are killing people in California. All started by a small spark or a small flame. That are the damages that you can do if you don't watch your words, if you don't do that. So, what conclusion can we draw from this? Well, there are several that we can draw. The first one is, I want you to read the book of James. The whole book, all five chapters. I want you to take your time. I want you to comprehend what he's saying. What he's saying is truthful, it's honest, and it's straightforward. After you've read it once in one version, if you read it in the King James, then two or three days later, after you've digested that, I want you to read it in another version. Try the New American Standard. If you've read it in the New American Standard, then go back and read it again in the New King James. It'll provide you with a wider view of what James is saying here. Do that. Read that. It's good for you. Doesn't take that long, 30 minutes, and I don't read very fast anymore. So read it, comprehend it, and then follow the instructions that James gives you. Second thing I want you to do is to mind your tongue. That's not easy to do. James has pointed that out, that it's one of the easier things. If you can control your tongue, you can control all the rest of your body, because it is so easy to lash back at someone that you think has harmed you. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do them any good. And it may, in fact, cause problems that not only are for now, but can continue for decades. And that's just, you can't fix it once it's uttered. You can't take it back. People have marvelous memories for things that have injured them. And those things are really, really serious. So mind your tongue. Watch what you say. If you can't do that, then you're not being what God wants you to be. He wants you to take care of what you're doing. He doesn't want you to hurt others. So do that. I want you to read the book at least twice. And I want you to mind your tongue when you're out there. What else do I want you to do? I want you to obey God. James tells you some of the things that you need to do. How you're to control yourself. How you're to say things that are pleasant, that are charming, that are good, not things which are evil. Obey him. Do the things that he has instructed you to do. That's it. That's all there is. There ain't no more. I appreciate very much your attention tonight. If there's anyone here who has not become a Christian, you have an opportunity to do so tonight. We have the clothing, we have the water, and I think we can even figure out how to open the curtains if we try hard enough. We'd be happy to do that. If you are a Christian and you have in some manner, strayed from that. You need to fix that. You need to take care of that, and we can help you do that tonight. If you just need somebody to pray with you about something, we can do that tonight as well. So if we can assist you in any way this good book allows, we'd ask you to come. All together we stand and sing our song.
So please.